They're coming to get you, Barbara. They're coming for you, Barbara. They're coming for you. Look, there comes one of them now.
My name's Brandon Staub.
And I'm Brad O'Connell. Welcome to In Dispute Podcast, where we discuss hot-button issues in the Christian church. We're learning to listen to the Bible instead of our emotions, and we invite you to learn with us. Our hope is that these raw conversations would help lead us to truth and bring us closer to the mind and heart of God.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for joining us this week on In Dispute Podcast. This week, we are going to be discussing Halloween. We have Halloween coming up here very shortly, and we thought this would be a good time to discuss this. I wouldn't say that this is something the church necessarily doesn't talk about, but maybe a topic of controversy. Mm-hmm. I think churches are pretty vocal, actually, about what they believe about Halloween. But I think a lot of people were kind of like on the fence, like, is this really a big deal for us to be celebrating or taking part in the fun or going trick-or-treating or going to the parades, handing out candy? Is it really that bad? Is it really as bad as you know, my pastor or my church leaders make it out to be? So that's what we're gonna talk about here on this episode. I think the main argument, probably from a lot of churches, a lot of Christians, is that we don't celebrate Halloween because of the origin, mm-hmm. Which is pretty dark. It's a tradition that was started by the Celtics, or the Celts, long ago. It was kind of a...
Not the Celtics.
The Celts.
Who pronounced their name wrong. Gets me mad every time.
So this was kind of a yearly tradition that marked the end of their summer, basically, where they're going into their dark season. They had to make sure they had all their ducks in a row, make sure they had everything they needed to make it through the winter. Mm-hmm. And that's really the beginnings of Halloween. They didn't call it Halloween then. They called it Samhain. And some of the things that they would do, the rituals that they would do, were pretty dark. And where we get a lot of the symbolism of Halloween now, you know, whether it be bonfires or even dressing up in costumes in order to fool the dead that were supposedly roaming around into thinking that you were one of them. Mm-hmm. There's really the history of Halloween is pretty long and in depth, so I would definitely suggest going back to, you know, research it. There's a good documentary on YouTube that I found that the Discovery Channel or the History Channel did about the origins of Halloween from the time of the Celts all the way through to now and how it has evolved. But that's really the origin. Is it was really a pagan ritual, a pagan tradition. But through the years, we actually see the church come into this, the Catholic Church, and try to reclaim this Samhain holiday or tradition by Christianizing it in a way. That's where we see some of the like trick-or-treating traditions come in. A lot of the kids from the church would go around door-to-door and ask for, that was actually called souling back then, not trick-or-treating, but they would go around asking.
Way better.
Yes. They would go around asking for these little sweet cakes from people, and it was some kind of a tradition where they were praying for those who were in purgatory to be released from purgatory and into their eternity. So we see the church kind of take over a lot of the more common traditions that we see now. But yeah, the beginnings of Halloween are very pagan, and that is, I think, where the church really has its issues and the dark beginnings, but then also the dark imagery that comes along with Halloween in modern day.
Yeah, people dressing up like demons and ghosts and vampires and. And then nowadays, 2019, a lot of the costumes are very sexualized, extremely sexualized in a lot of ways. So the church has issues with those as well.
Right. And also, I mean, there are a lot of weird, very satanic, ritualistic things that go on Halloween, which I think is part of the problem the church has with people observing or celebrating Halloween is all the weird satanic, ritualistic, sacrificial stuff that happens on that night. But that's just a very small percentage of people that do that kind of thing. It's not like a widely practice thing among the majority of the people who practice or celebrate Halloween. And I think that's also where a lot of the verses that people use from the Bible come from, because it's a lot about, you know, not taking part in witchcraft or spells or, you know, crystal balls or sorcery, which, as I said, a lot of the stuff surrounding Halloween does involve that kind of thing, but for the most part, it's just people gathered together having fun, you know, dressing up as their favorite superhero. But I did have some verses here from the Bible that we could probably say is a good argument against Halloween, celebrating Halloween.
Okay.
And Brad, if I'm just talking too much, just cut me off. But
I'll let you discuss what you have found, and then I'll kind of.
Okay. So I got a couple here. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 21 says, "You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the table of the Lord and the table of demons." And when I read that and you think about Halloween, it's like, a lot of the celebrations of Halloween kind of seem to be very demonic. People dressing up as the dead or even demons or devils. You can't really do that and then say that you're living for the Lord at the same time. You can't mix the two together. You can't drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. Ephesians 5:11 says, "Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them." There's no question about it that Halloween is a pretty dark holiday. There's not much light that comes from many Halloween celebrations, parades, parties. There's some pretty dark stuff that happens in there, and the Bible tells us that we should actually expose that kind of darkness and not take part in it at all. 3 John 1:11 Beloved, do not imitate evil, but imitate good. I mean, what are we doing when we're dressing up like some of this stuff? We're dressing up like the devil. We're imitating evil.
Mm-hmm. Some people pass that off as mocking.
Right, yeah.
You have conversations with some people.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, oh, I'm not imitating it. I'm mocking
right. The
devil.
Right. And maybe you are. That's, I don't know, maybe we can explore that a little more. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and self-control." And again, there's no doubt that when you think about Halloween and the stuff that goes on, it's really about people trying to scare each other.
Mm-hmm.
Now I have some rebuttals on that one. The difference between, you know, startling somebody and actual fear, I think, are two different things. I don't know that in 2 Timothy 1:7, God's really talking about people startling one another, you know, with pranks and gags and tricks. Most people don't have an actual fear of Halloween. It's more of a, I like to think of it as more of an adrenaline rush.
Right.
You know, kind of like that feeling you get when you get on a roller coaster.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if those are the Bible verses that I have, Brad. I don't know if you want to add.
So, my first thought on this topic, just right off the bat when we first chose this topic, was that we do these kind of topics a lot, but I don't think this is something that Christians should really be arguing over in the sense of causing division in the church over, you know. I think you should have your mind and you should have your convictions and you should follow your own convictions, but I certainly don't think that you need, if you decide as a Christian that Halloween is okay, you shouldn't be arguing with those who disagree with you and trying to force them into your mindset. And if you think that being a Christian and doing Halloween is not okay, then just don't participate in it. But you don't have to argue with a brother or sister and try to get them onto your side. You want to have a fruitful conversation, a loving conversation, like, go for it. But to cause division in the church over something that ultimately is not connected to your salvation is, frankly, it's childish and divisive. It's just not something you should do. But Romans 14, I've been trying to be careful in my research with what passages I'm looking into, because there's not a whole lot, there is no passage that talks about Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
And so I want to make sure that I'm not taking things out of context and stuff like that. But I did find in Romans 14, 1 through 23, so this is a little bit of a chunk, bear with me, but it says, "As for one who is weak in faith, welcome him, but not to quarrel over opinions. One person believes that he may eat anything while the weak person eats only vegetables. Let not the one who eats despise the one who abstains, and let not the one who abstains pass judgment on the one who eats, for God has welcomed him. Who are you to pass judgment on the servant of another? It is before his own master that he stands or falls, and he will be upheld, for the Lord is able to make him stand. One person esteems one day as better than another, while another esteems all days alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind." So this is just kind of reiterating from Scripture what I just said.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Let not the one who eats despise the one who abstains, not the one who abstains pass judgment on the one who eats, for God is welcome. So now we're obviously talking about eating and drinking here, but the concept remains the same.
Mm-hmm.
The context of what's going on between the brothers here is remaining the same. We should not be passing judgment on one another because this is not that kind of issue. And then it says each one should be fully convinced of his own mind. God gave you a conscience, and the Spirit speaks to you individually on certain things. There are some people whose conscience cannot handle this kind of thing. They're very convicted about it. Maybe they have personal reasons. Maybe it has nothing to do with the way they're raising their children, etc. And so those people should follow the prompting of the Holy Spirit. But the Spirit might be prompting another person in a totally different direction for different reasons. Maybe another person the spirit is prompting because they know they're strong enough to handle this without temptation, without being scared by the enemy, and they're going to use them for missional purposes. And so we have to be careful not to argue with each other. And then, likewise, stop me if I'm kind of going around what you were going to say. But so I start with that as my opinion. And if we want to dig down further, what I believe, based on what I see in Scripture, based on my own conviction, is I don't personally find anything wrong with Halloween from a Christian standpoint. I will get to something a little later in the sense that where I don't find anything wrong with it or sinful with it, I do try my best to use wisdom within that freedom, and I try to be cautious in how I use the freedom that God's given me to be part of this holiday. Mm-hmm. So in Hebrews 2:14, something I found says, "Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil." And so I read that verse, I see that, you know, Jesus has the power to overthrow the devil. He did overthrow the devil, and so as children of the light, I think that Halloween is a great time for us to be partakers in that mission. Mm-hmm. I know that the term that you just read, expose, means to, you know, it could be used to chastise or to point out, but if we look at the concept of what light does in darkness, when it exposes darkness, what it really does is it comes into the darkness. It has to touch the darkness to push it out.
Right.
And so I believe that it's a great opportunity for us as Christians to go into the realm of evil. I mean, if we're filled with the Holy Spirit, there's cautious and then there's afraid. And which one are we called to do? I don't think we should be afraid of the enemy. I think we should be cautious about it. So obviously use wisdom in doing this. I'm not going to walk into a satanic ritual, but to refuse to go around my neighborhood, I think is missing an opportunity to interact with my neighbors, to interact with their children, to let my children interact with them. And on a personal level, with me having two kids, it's a great time for my wife and I to teach them what the gospel is, what the enemy is, and what the gospel is to do in the realm of darkness.
Mm-hmm.
In our house, we've done different things throughout the years. So Aaron's going to be 3 this summer, so we've gone out twice now with him. And 1 year, we stayed on our porch. We didn't go trick-or-treating. We just dressed him up in a cute costume. We stayed on our porch. I handed out chunks of candy. I handed out tracts of some sort with just a little message on a baggie, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And just let people know that they were loved when they came to my house. Last year, this past Halloween, we dressed Aaron up, and he walked around for a little bit, and we partook in that, and then we came home at my parents' house and handed out candy. We kind of split it up. But both times, we're able to teach Aaron, and we're able to use him in loving the neighborhood, in communicating, having conversations, even if it's something small. We show up to the door, and instead of saying, thank you, we say, you know, God bless you. You know, something small like that, but to just expose the darkness using love.
Mm-hmm.
You know, something I really enjoyed this year with Aaron that I don't think I would have gotten the opportunity to do if we weren't partaking in Halloween is Aaron's a very sensitive person. He's very in tune with his surroundings. And so it actually took him quite a while to even get him to go to the 3 or 4 houses that we went to. And what happened was, we were at my parents' house, and he was getting dressed in this adorable little dinosaur costume, and the doorbell rang, and the very first kid of the night showed up in a Scream mask. And Aaron ran upstairs to one of the guest rooms, was crying, didn't want his costume on, didn't want to go trick-or-treating. And so I loved that for a couple of reasons. The first reason was that I really appreciated that he was able to notice evil and to heed it. You know, he was able to see that looks evil, that gives off an evil vibe, and I don't want to be part of it. So that was cool to see that God was working in a 2-year-old's heart like that. But then also I got to have a conversation of, you know, wow, buddy, that's really cool that you noticed that that was an evil looking mask. That was something that we don't want to participate in. However, you know, mommy and daddy teach you about Jesus all the time. And you should know that Jesus defeated evil. And so he gives us his power to do the same thing. He gives us the ability to do the same thing. And so where it is very good to recognize and realize that this was something we don't want to participate in, we shouldn't be so afraid of it that we don't go near it. We want to go towards it, as scared as we might feel in that moment, just trusting that God will protect us and be with us. And we should go love these people. We should go let them know that God loves them as much as he loves us. And so I was able to have that conversation, even on the level of a two-year-old, that I wouldn't have had if I just stayed with the light off. Now you can have that conversation, but to have that realistic experience for a two-year-old, I mean, that was priceless to me. I really enjoyed being able to do that with him. So
that reminds me of something I heard Brian Head Welch say. One of the, I think he plays bass or guitar for Korn, and he's a born-again Christian. And he gets a lot of flack for being in that band. But he's saying, you know, as a Christian, I'm called to go straight into that darkness. And he made a great point. He said, you know, nobody ever attacks the missionary that comes to my church to talk about the darkness that they walk into when they go, you know, to South America and live in villages with witch doctors and, you know, sorcerers. Nobody ever attacks the missionary who goes into those dark places. But somehow he's a bad guy because he's walking into Korn, which, if you know anything about Korn, is definitely a dark, pretty dark band. But one by one, that band, he's converting those guys.
Yeah, one, he left the band and went back, and one of, at least one of the other members became a Christian because of this process.
Right. So that's like a great example of like walking head first into darkness with the light that you are supposed to carry. Like, we're not meant for our light to be hidden under a basket.
Right.
Which is how the verse reads. Light is no good if it's hidden. Light is no good unless there's darkness to be illuminated.
Right.
That's what Christians and Halloween is we have this opportunity to, like, one night a year, you're guaranteed every neighborhood in the United States is celebrating Halloween. And that's an opportunity for every single Christian to take that light into that darkness, and love on people.
Colossians 2 says that he disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame. So, we don't, I just want to ask, I don't want to be divisive, like I said, but like I just want to ask, what are we afraid of? You know? Like I said, there's a difference between wisdom and caution, and almost leaning towards cowardice in a sense. I don't want my kids, for example, being afraid of the enemy their entire life. You know what I mean? There's a healthy type of quote unquote fear, which I would equate to wisdom and caution, but I don't want them living their whole life not knowing that Jesus destroyed, like Jesus won. He has triumphed over them. The enemy is full of shame now. He has been exposed. And so let's not let him have a foothold. Let's walk into this dark place. Let's shine. Let's be that light. Take the basket off of our head. Do that just like you said. So, and another thing is, you know, we're talking about all this pagan stuff in the beginning. I get confused. I understand why Christians don't want to partake in Halloween. I understand it. I respect it. And I think it's usually for very good, very healthy reasons. I'm cool with it, if that's what you choose to do. But what confuses me is that same Christian who won't partake in Halloween is taking their child to an Easter egg hunt, is telling their child that Santa exists until they're 7 or 8 years old, and is worshiping on Sunday. Mm-hmm. All three of those things have pagan origins, just as pagan and just as evil as Halloween.
Christmas trees.
Yeah. And so, you know, we're not going to stop talking about Jesus at Christmas. I'm not going to wipe December 25th off the calendar because of Satan Claus, you know. JK, guys. you know, so I, at the same time, you want to be as consistent as possible, you know. You know, we're not going to wipe Easter off the calendar because people celebrate the Easter Bunny, you know. I'm just going to tell my kids the truth about it, like I do with Christmas, and we're going to incorporate the gospel in that as much as we can. You know, we talked recently, for those of you who heard our episode on the Sabbath, that even the worship day of Sunday is pagan in origin. Mm-hmm. You know, but I don't see a chunk of the church stopping their worship on Sunday. So maybe that's a silly argument, but to me it kind of makes sense, you know.
I mean, I don't want to come off as a jerk, but I just don't understand how we can point the finger at Halloween and talk about how unchristian and evil it is, and think it's okay to lie to our kids every year about Santa Claus. Mm-hmm. We're Christian mothers and fathers literally lying to our kids about a fictional pagan character.
Right.
But Halloween is bad.
Right.
I don't really understand it.
I mean, and while we're on the track, we can have a totally different podcast on that, mm-hmm. on that holiday, I'm sure we will. But just further iterating, if that's even a word, what you just said is, we're calling somebody dressed like a devil evil and anti-gospel, yet we're teaching our children that some creepy old fairy dude up in the North Pole is watching our children based on their behavior, and if they don't have good behavior, that they will not be rewarded a gift. What is more anti-gospel than that? Mm-hmm. You know, that flies in the face of the truth of Christ, that the gift of Christmas was given freely, not based on our merit, but on His good grace, because He loved us. Mm-hmm. And He knew that we couldn't keep up with that list that we're supposed to be on. You know what I mean? We couldn't make it on that list. We would always be on the naughty list. So what's more anti-gospel than that? And yet we're saying, oh no, Christian, if you go out dressed like a ghost or whatever, you're going to hell. Mm-hmm. You're not really a Christian. You can't be saved. You know. Now, that being said, also, as far as using wisdom, when my kids go out, we're dressing as Elmo and dinosaurs. You know, next year, we're recording this right now, it's March. Aaron's already asking me to dress up like PJ Masks for Halloween in October. Mm-hmm. You know, we're doing cute costumes that are going to go spark joy in people, mm-hmm. make them laugh, make them smile. So, like, if my son wanted to dress up like a devil or a ghost, I'm going to tell him no, and I'm going to have that conversation and explain why. Right. That we want to look different than the world. We want to look separate from everybody else. We don't want to be partaking in the darkness. We want to expose the darkness. And so, you know, use wisdom in that. Use caution, like I keep saying. So don't hear me saying that we should have our kids go all out in here and have, you know, blood dripping off them and stuff. I'm sure I dressed like something stupid along the way before I knew better. Mm-hmm. You know, so I want to at least make that clear, that we are, Tara and I are cautious in how we use Halloween as a gospel tool, as a missionary tool.
Yeah, it very much sounds like we're leaning towards Halloween being okay, mm-hmm. to celebrate, but what we aren't saying is, like, especially as adults, a lot of adults partake in, like, some pretty crazy parties, and, mm-hmm. like, there's some pretty weird stuff that can go down on Halloween.
Yeah.
Like, we're not saying that it's okay for a Christian to go to wild parties and, you know, get drunk and do whatever
right
at parties, and, you know, they're as we were saying earlier, like we need to be careful of how we're conducting ourselves during this time. It's a fun time of year. I love Halloween, especially as an adult, because I wasn't allowed to do it as a kid. So now that I'm an adult and I'm like able to, you know, make my own decisions, I kind of went a little crazy for a while. I'm toning down now, but I still love Halloween. And one of the things that I love Halloween now as an adult, and as a Christian, is the aspect of how much of a giving holiday it is. Mm-hmm. Everybody, especially Christian people, are always proclaiming Christmas to be like such a giving time of year. And like, I mean, I don't even know the numbers, but it's like billions and billions of dollars every year spent at Christmas time. Mm-hmm. Halloween is the second most, I don't know what the word is. People spend more, the second most amount of money on Halloween. Hmm. The difference, though, is the majority of people who are buying presents on Christmas are only giving to people within their own families, people they know, friends, loved ones. I mean, there's a small majority of people who do, like, you know, they buy Christmas presents for poor people. Mm-hmm. They give to, like, Toys for Tots, and they're definitely giving to people that they don't know. But the majority of the money that's spent on Christmas is towards your own family, your own friends. Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times expecting a gift in return.
Right.
An exchange of goods, almost.
Halloween, though, in my opinion, is the most giving holiday, because what other holiday is there where people within a community come together to just freely give to anybody who knocks on their door? Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter if they know who you are or they don't. It's a community spending billions of dollars on other people and getting nothing in return except for empty wallets.
Right.
And everybody loves it. Like, people are joyful to go out and spend billions to give to others. Mm-hmm. With no expectation of return. And I think that's cool.
Yeah. And depending on certain demographics, like obviously finances coming into this, don't go into debt buying this kind of stuff. But how cool would it be if you have the ability to do so, how cool would it be if not only are you freely giving, but you're the house that everybody clings to? You're the house that gives out a whole handful of candy instead of two Tootsie Rolls. What if you're the house that gives out full Hershey's chocolate bars instead of the mini ones? You know what I mean? Like, what a cool opportunity, if finances allow, to do something like that. To be the sore thumb in the community. You're drawing people to your house. You get to share your love with other people.
Mm-hmm.
It's just such a cool thing to be able to do.
Yeah, and there's so many cool options that Christians have. Something that we did this year with our church is the town we live in Hanover, Pennsylvania, has one of the longest running and oldest and largest Halloween parades on the East Coast.
Mm-hmm.
So our church just happens to set right alongside the main route of that Halloween parade. So, I mean, we got those light up snap things, or you snap them and the thing lights up. I don't know what they're called.
Glow sticks.
Apparently, as you can tell, I've been to a lot of raves. I don't know what glow sticks are. We got a lot of those, you know, glow sticks and candy and just lots of fun stuff, water.
We still have some of that candy rotting in our office.
Yeah, but it was just cool to just people walk by and see that we're a church and we're not afraid of what's going on
right
outside, you know, where there's people dressed up like demons walking by, and we're just like, hey, have some candy. We love you. Jesus loves you. Let me pray for you.
Yeah.
We got to pray for a homeless guy, and we got to, you know, bless him with some food, and it's just like such great opportunity for us to just be a presence in the community,
right,
and bring the presence of God right into the middle,
right,
of this dark celebration.
And you know, I'm going to continue on that, because there's a couple of cool things we got to do that if we were to be inside with the light on, we wouldn't be able to do. So you mentioned there was a homeless guy that we prayed for. This guy showed up smelling like urine, swollen, painful legs. We already gave him that food that you mentioned and stuff like that. We prayed for him. We had another guy that came and happened to stop by and ask us some certain questions about the church. Found out that he's pretty much enraged at God. But we were able to show him grace, and we were able to show him love and just have a quick conversation, but even if it was 5 minutes or less. But we got to just love him. We didn't judge him for it. We didn't question him as a person because of it. We had a bunch of teenagers without their parents running past us cussing and stuff like that, but we got to give them water and a bunch of Tootsie Rolls and these beads and glow sticks and just love on these kids that I guarantee 5 minutes down the road people were judging and calling them a bunch of hooligans. You know, we got to be somebody different for them. Our church is literally right next door to a bar at a Halloween parade, so people are clearly going there for alcohol. Mm-hmm. And we had several people that were fairly drunk leave that bar towards the parade, but we were able to offer them bottles of water as they were leaving, mm-hmm, and party beads to hang, you know, just to have. Churches don't do that a lot,
yeah,
of times. You know, these people are walking past this church probably expecting to be judged or hear some ridiculous shout out.
Mm-hmm.
Half the time we didn't even mention Jesus' name. We just mentioned that we were church and that we were just out there to love people.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, who knows what that did to the mind and heart as they left that night, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Just such a cool opportunity.
Right. And then not only that, but your previous church,
yeah,
involved in trick-or-treating in another town. And their church just happens to be right smack dab in the middle of Main Street,
yep,
where the entire population of the town walks by. And the doors to their church were open,
mm-hmm,
and there were people who clearly were not Christian people,
mm-hmm,
walking on through, which was awesome. Like, that's what churches should be doing. Like,
there was actually
open the doors and let whoever,
yeah,
needs us to be here. And like, we're not going to condemn you as you walk through.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to like, if you come in, you have to whatever.
Right.
We're not going to slap a track on your forehead as you leave. Like, come on in, do a craft, grab some candy, like,
yep,
play in our bouncy house. Like,
yep. I think we
love you.
Hot chocolate at some point in time in the past years. And
yeah,
actually, this past year, you know, you and I and some people from our church went back to help them. And there was one community member that came by, was desperate need for prayer, different situations. We prayed over him, me and another guy from that church. He ended up actually becoming, as far as I know, still today, a member of the church, because of the way that we reached out to him and cared for him and prayed for him.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a guy that otherwise may not have had a place to plug into, but because we were involved in that dark world and we shone our light,
mm-hmm,
and this guy found a church home.
Yep. Yeah, that's, I just think that's so important for churches to do. Like, gotta be careful, but you know, a lot of churches will have their harvest parties where they'll like gather all the people together in their gymnasium and like lock the doors and like, if you want to come celebrate harvest, you know, come to the gym at 6 o'clock and here's the password to get in because we don't want anybody else in here. Like, come to our harvest party and we can all be safe and secure together in our little church building. Like, no, let's swing open wide the doors of our churches and let the light shine out into the darkness, because that's what we're called to do. I'm not saying that you shouldn't do harvest parties. I'm just saying, like, it's time for the church to step out of their comfort zone.
Right.
It's time for us to swing wide the doors of our church open and let some of this light out. Because there's a lot of lost, dying people who need us. And what better night to do it on than Halloween?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Some notes I had towards the end here were about remembering the mission that we're on. So Matthew 28 gives us the Great Commission of what we're supposed to do as Christians. And like you mentioned earlier that with Brian Head Welch, you know, there are people going into like legitimately dark and evil places in this world. And so I struggled to hear some of the stories of these missionaries, people that are literally being killed for the gospel. I find it difficult in my own personal life to allow some creepy costumes to stop me from taking my kids out and sharing the gospel when I have people legitimately being killed in evil, dark places following the Great Commission. I can't see why turning your light on and handing out some candy is much different as far as loving people in dark places. I also was reading this article. This is an article. It was titled Halloween and Leaving the Light On. It was from the Gospel Coalition's website. And the quote from this article is, it was like a quote from a different article within this article, so I don't know where the original was, but they're talking about leaving the light on and how it's a great time of the year to be a good neighbor, to be that Christianly neighbor, because we live in a society where we often don't see our neighbors very often. Like, people go to work, they come home, and that's it. You know, my neighbors, for example, got on one side of me, both of the parents work, and they work different hours from each other, so I don't even remember the last time where I've even seen them coming or going in their house. But you have a night like Halloween where you can open up your doors and turn your light on and see people that you don't get to talk to a whole lot.
Mm-hmm.
But this article quoted, "One night does not a neighbor make, and one night does not a pagan make.
Mm-hmm.
But Halloween is the one night of the year where the good neighborliness that flows from being in Christ is communicated and reinforced." And this is my favorite part here. "We are citizens of another kingdom where the light is always on."
Mm-hmm.
I just love that quote. That we are citizens of another kingdom where the light is always on. Yet we have Christians that turn their lights off and become the people where the neighbors know, like, oh, there are those hard-hearted, mean Christians that don't want to let our kids come knock on the door.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the no solicitors, don't knock on my door kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But we're from another kingdom where the light is always on. And I wrote down that perhaps instead of fleeing the darkness in fear, we should view Halloween as an opportunity to mock the enemy whose power over us has been broken.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, what better way to do that than to not be afraid to walk right out in the middle of his darkness?
Mm-hmm.
So this is a holiday that the devil has been able to, for sure, like, claim for his own.
Mm-hmm.
But he can't claim that if Christians start coming out on Halloween.
Right.
And take it back. So I say, you know, have fun. I mean, we should be the best Christian that we can be every day, but, like, on Halloween, have some fun. Like, dress up, go trick-or-treating, have bonfires, go to the parade, bob for apples.
Right. Well, maybe be careful with the bobbing for apples. That's a good way to get the flu to go around.
That's true, yeah. But, yeah, there's no reason for us to shrink down into our houses and our churches and be afraid. And I think when we do that, the devil wins.
Mm-hmm.
Just Yeah, be careful of what you're actually partaking in, participating in. But otherwise, like, the Lord created us to have a good time living our lives as Christian people.
Right.
Have some fun.
Right.
You're not going to hell for participating in Halloween.
And like we've said throughout tonight's episode, be cautious. Mm-hmm. Use wisdom. You know, so we're not... It probably sounds like we're bashing the other side. Like you said, if you choose not to participate in Halloween, like we can see that side of the argument. We understand it. I personally have a hard time, I guess, agreeing with it, but because of the freedom we have, you know, you follow your conviction. It would be sin if you were convicted in the heart of hearts not to do it and you did it anyways, just because we're saying that it's a good idea.
Sure.
So definitely be cautious with that. Follow your heart in that sense. We do have passages that say, don't be conformed to the world, don't take part in the unfruitful work of darkness, but expose them. You mentioned that in Ephesians 5, 1 Thessalonians, stay away from every kind of evil, or some translations say the appearance of evil. So we have these out here, so we do need to use that wisdom and fight. Okay, so how do we expose the dark without becoming dark? How do we be of the world, or in the world, but not of the world?
Mm-hmm.
So we have to think through these things. Let's not just be blind fools about this.
Sure.
Don't hear us saying that we think you're an idiot if you choose not to participate in Halloween, but I certainly, I'm sure you would agree, and we definitely would urge you to reconsider it, mm-hmm. to pray about it more, and make sure that if you're not participating, that it is truly the conviction of the Holy Spirit and not fear. Conviction and fear are two different things, and the one thing the devil wants you to do is be afraid and stay home.
Yeah,
which is completely different than the Spirit of God convicting you for other reasons.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would totally agree, and say another way to think of this is, you know, if you're someone who has struggled with alcohol in the past, mm-hmm. I'm not going to say you're being dumb if you don't go into the bar and preach the gospel.
Right.
Maybe if you were an alcoholic in the past, the bar is not the best place for you to go. Same thing, a lot of people who are now Christians have come out of a past of witchcraft, mm-hmm. and being involved in some really dark things.
Yeah.
So, if, you know, along those same lines, if that is part of your past, then maybe Halloween isn't the smartest thing for you to do.
Yeah,
absolutely. And be involved in. And there's nothing wrong with you just saying, I'm going to sit this one out every year. So yeah, don't misunderstand us in saying that if you're not participating in Halloween, that you're a weak Christian.
Mm-hmm. It
could actually mean that you're being a very strong Christian.
Mm-hmm.
And you're being obedient and you're being wise in not participating in that. We don't want people to shy away from something that they could actually be a light. I think a lot of people can do a lot of good if they stepped out of that comfort zone and into Halloween.
Absolutely. All right, everyone. Well, hopefully this sparked some conversation, and we'd love to hear your thoughts on social media, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Catch us and let us know what you think. Let us know what you do or don't do and why, maybe, to help us understand some more things or give us some ideas that our church can do. Until then, we'll catch you next time on In Dispute Podcast.
Happy Halloween.
Thanks for listening to In Dispute Podcast. We hope today's conversation has stirred you to seek biblical truth. If you'd like to contact us with questions, comments, or suggest topics, you can find us on Twitter at Dispute Podcast and on Facebook at facebook.com/InDisputePodcast. Tune in next week for another topic, In Dispute.